Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of T613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psochim, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first blot. We begin with the first Mishnah at the beginning of the page, the equivalent of page 3. Or la'arba osar, on the evening, the night of the 14th, as the 14th begins, Jewish days begin the night before of what we perceive as the day. So the day before Pesach begins that night. Bodkin es ha-chametz le'or haner. You check for chametz to the light of a ner, of a candle. Kol makom she'ei machnisim be'chametz. Any place that you don't bring chametz into normally during the year, Ein tzarech bedika, does not require checking. So the Masechta is beginning with the beginning of the Pesach process. We're going to check the night before the Seder for chametz to clean the house, make sure that there's no chametz around. We only have to clean, check the places that would be normal to have chametz. If a person has an area of storage that would not have people eating there, so it would not require checking. The Mishnah continues with clarification and explains that there are two different types of storehouses. One storehouse is a place where people go during the meal, a place that has small fish, a place that has wine barrels that you might go to during the meal to replenish the supply. And there's a second type of storehouse that the person doesn't go to during the meal, much larger quantities, big fish. Person doesn't go there during the meal. And the place that you don't go during the meal, in the Mishnah's definition, does not require bedika. There's an interesting discussion regarding our types of locations. Are we choshish that people snack in those locations? People don't go there during the meal. A person doesn't go to his attic during the meal. But would a person who's doing work there be snacking there, as is prevalent in our society, or you don't have to worry for that? Every application should be analyzed with this basic mind frame. Is it normal for food to be there? Now, why are we concerned that there is chametz in the house? So Rashi tells us, second line, Botkin, the reason we check is shelo yavar alav b'val yirah u'val yimotze, because there's a prohibition not even to own chametz during Pesach, and therefore we check the house and make sure that we're not in possession of chametz. Taisvis objects. Taisvis says, Pirish akuntri shelo yavar alav b'val yirah u'val yimotze. Indeed, the explanation of Rashi is that you shouldn't be over and by Yirah and by Yimatze, owning chametz. The Kasha Luri, second line of Taisvis. I have a question. Kevin de Tzorech Bittel, since you have to nullify chametz anyway, because it's understood, even if you do your check, we still make that declaration, nullifying any chametz that we know about, any chametz that we know about or don't know about. So on the last wide line at the top, Taisvis says, if anyway you have to make this declaration, so why are we checking? If there happens to be chametz around, it won't be ours. Who cares? Taisvis continues and gives an answer and says, Shelo yava la'achlo. We're worried that you shouldn't come to eat the chametz. And Taisvis explains that even though most Isurim, generally, you have different prohibitions in the Torah, we don't go checking the house purposely to eradicate these things. Since chametz is permitted all year, lobedili minei, people are not separate from it. They're in the habit of eating such a cracker, eating such a cookie, a piece of bread. And therefore, we have to remove it from the house. And that's the function of bedika. In other words, according to Taisvis, owning it is not the issue. You can simply make a declaration that it's ownerless. The issue is that if it's sitting around in your house, you might come to eat it. Taisvis proceeds to make a distinction between different things that one might think should also have to be removed from the house. And he makes two comments. One is anything that's isur noeg isur olam, anything that's a constant prohibition from the time it began and on, it's always been prohibited. It doesn't have an on and off the way chametz does. So those items, they're always prohibited. You don't have to remove them because you were already trained not to go near them for eating. And anything that's a neder, that's case specific to you, but is permitted to other people, Taisvis says, also doesn't make sense to do a bedika on it. Maybe prohibited to you, but it's permitted to other family members. So we wouldn't remove that from the house either. There's an interesting question regarding handling food on a fast day. For example, Yom Kippur, to make a sandwich for a child and hand the sandwich to the child. Child's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but you're not. So is there any problem with handling that food? And just by way of reference, Taisvis is giving us a certain guideline over here that if something is permitted to other people, we don't make a legislation to eradicate it from the house, so to speak, or to remove you from handling it. If it's permitted to certain people, so then that's something that's permitted, and we don't go ahead and prohibit it. Now, even if we understand, as Rashi said, that the reason for the bedika is so that you should not be in violation of owning chametz. And Taisvis is asking, so just nullify it. Big deal. There still is a great insight in the cleaning process and in the bedika process, which even removing lumdus from this, just very simple, by requiring of us to eradicate chametz from the home, we are developing a certain attitude to chametz that builds until its climax on Pesach. Imagine a person, as the story goes, would find a box of hamantaschen on Pesach that was overlooked. His first reaction certainly would not be, "Wow, how tasty." His first reaction after spending so much time removing chametz from the house, his first reaction certainly would be, "This is a tragedy. There's still chametz in the house. How could it be?" And if nothing else, the process of cleaning from chametz, even without any lumdus, that process sensitizes us to the fact that chametz is prohibited. Imagine a person who would make a declaration, all chametz is nullified, without having done cleaning and bedika. So that statement, while it might be legally true, but it's very empty in terms of sincerity. But after a person has gone to great lengths to remove chametz from his house, that statement is a statement of clarity. That statement really has impact on the most deep level. The Gemara will later say an expression, Shema Yimtza Galuska Yofe, V'daitei ilavei. What happens if you find a good loaf of bread, and for a few moments you wonder, should I burn it, should I not burn it? It looks tasty. Once a person has gone through the process of bedikas chametz the way we practice it, his first reaction will certainly be that that item is an item that has to be burnt. It has a shaila, what should I do now during Yom Tov? And the bedika actually does set the tone for the entire Pesach experience. Yeshe Koach, have a great day.